This morning, I would like to direct your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12 and down at verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus is the speaker, and he says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Now that's pretty pointed, isn't it? Pretty pointed. But you know, our language that we speak, that is the English language, has very many colorful ways of expressing indecisiveness. Sometimes we say somebody is wishy-washy. Sometimes we say people are hem-hawing around. Sometimes we say people are beating around the bush. And sometimes we talk about people who straddle the fence. But Jesus described some in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, as being those who have no root. Now, you remember, this is a parable of the sower. He who receives the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What is the problem? Well, the problem is indecisiveness. He has not made up his mind firmly what he believes and what he stands for. And the first time trouble comes, he's gone. Indecisiveness. But the Bible also describes the indecisive by the words unstable, or the word unstable. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul talks about us not any longer being children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about indecisiveness. Not like children tossed to and fro. Children are indecisive. You ask a child what they want for dinner, and they may tell you something, and then a few minutes later, they may tell you something different because they're indecisive. Well, that's a sign of youth. And Paul says we're not to be like that. Why? Because when we're like that, we're tossed back and forth with every wind of doctrine. Now, I understand firsthand this idea of being tossed to and fro with wind. I experienced that. Fact is, just this last week, Terry Hicks drugged me out to a 50-acre lake above 10,000 feet and got me out on my float tube, and then the wind started blowing. I told Vicki, I said, there were several times I was trying to make it back to the shore that I stopped and looked, and I could still see the same people I saw a few minutes ago. I was kicking against the wind. And I mean, you're at the mercy of the wind. Tossed to and fro. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Indecisiveness, instability, or being unstable. James 1 and verse 8 also talks about the double-minded man. James 1 verse 8, the double-minded man. And he says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What does that mean? Well, he tells you one thing one time and another thing another time. Well, he doesn't have made up his mind one way or the other. He's unstable in all his ways. James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, James says, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, I want you to notice something about this. You put these two passages together right here, and you've got something to learn from this. Remember, he says, the double-minded man is unstable in his ways. And he says, the double-minded are to what? purify their hearts. What does that mean? That means the unstable are not pure. Take that around the block a couple times and look at it. That's what that says. The unstable are not pure in heart. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, talking about Paul and his epistles, he says, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. What do unstable people do? Well, they're known to twist the scriptures. They twist the scriptures to suit whatever it is they want it to say. And you can see why, in spiritual matters, being unstable is a very important thing. It is not trivial in any sense of the word. The inability to make decisions, and more importantly, to make the decision and stick to it. To not be able to do that is dangerous, to say the least. God asks us to exercise the freedom of our minds and to choose to obey Him. Now notice this. God challenges us to choose, to decide for Him or against Him. What did the Lord say? If you're not for me, what are you? You're against me. And this is not unusual that Jesus should say this, because in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, speaking by inspiration, now Joshua says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. What is he saying? You make a decision. Stop flip-flopping around and saying, oh, Jehovah, he is God, but we're going to worship this idol. And, oh, yes, we want Jehovah on our side, but we like this idol. He said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You choose the gods of your fathers, served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But listen to me, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is decisive, is it not? That is decisive. Whatever you want to do, whatever you decide, I'm just letting you know. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That is decisiveness. And that's what God calls for. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, Elijah came to the people. Remember all the conflict between Elijah and the wicked king due to his, of course, largely due to his wicked wife. But Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. What's he calling for? He's calling for a decision. You make up your mind. But look what the scripture says. The people answered him not a word. What does that tell us about those folks? Indecisive. And that really paints the picture of Israel. Indecisive. But when it comes to decisiveness, more is needed than just a one-time decision, if you will, to obey. Unfortunately, some people think that this is enough. Well, I made a decision a long time ago when I was a young person that I was going to follow the Lord, and I gave myself an obedience to the Lord and was baptized for the remission of my sins. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. That's all you've ever done. Well, that's not all that's needed. Faithfulness to God requires a constant determination and decisiveness and resoluteness. What does that mean? Well, that means that you made a decision and that was only the beginning. from that day forward, you made your mind up, whatever the Lord told you to do, you're going to do it. That's what you need to do. The problem with many today, and even some who profess to be Christians, is they have never fully made up their minds about God and have never really been converted to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. They say they're a Christian. They act sometimes like they're a Christian. But they really have never made up their minds about God and never been fully converted. They have never fully given up the world. In fact, many are guilty of what is described as temporizing. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by that? I've never heard that word before. Well, that's not a real common word, but here's what it means. It means to compromise or act evasively in order to gain time, avoid argument, or postpone a decision. That's out of the dictionary. When it comes to deciding about God, what do? They stall. They delay. They think of every reason why they shouldn't have to do anything. Thus, the American is constantly searching for his round to it. Have you ever heard that? Well, I intend to do that when I get around to it. Well, I want you to know that my mama gave me one of those and took away all my excuses. She gave me a round to it. And you know what? We all need to get our round to it. And make up our minds that we're going to do what God says the way God says to do it. One writer expressed this situation in this way. On the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who at the dawn of victory sat down to rest and resting died. Think about it. Indecisiveness ends up being the same as hostility to God. Have you ever thought about that? Whenever we are indecisive with regard to God, that is the same as hostility toward God. Our characters are the cumulative product of every little choice that we have ever made. That's what makes up our character. Few people set out with the evil intent to defy God. Now, don't get me wrong now. There are people who seem to live to defy God. There's no question about that. But relatively speaking, they are in the minority. Even though they'd like you to think otherwise, they are in the minority. But why do so many defy God? Well, they take the path of least resistance. Have you ever wondered why rivers don't all just flow straight? Have you ever wondered why? I thought of this, by the way. So we were driving along up there in the Sierras. There's this one beautiful section that we drive through, and the river goes through there, and it goes like this. And you know, nobody cut that out that way. You know why it's that way? Because the water took the path of least resistance. That's right. The flow follows the path of least resistance. And that's why so many are ultimately defying God today and not making a solid choice to serve Him. It is unfortunate that our character may have been formed largely by default rather than by decision. Our character should be the result of decisiveness. I am what I am because I choose to be this way. You see the difference between that and I am what I am because of my environment? I am what I am because that's what my family wants me to be. I am what I am because the world around me says I should be like that. You see the difference between that? I am what I am because I choose to be this way. That's decisiveness. And that's what God wants from us. That's what He wants from us. Some have become what they are by as a result of postponement and procrastination rather than purpose or decisiveness. That made me think about the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here, folks. The man who is a fool is the man who postpones his obedience. You know, Jesus talked about this over in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24, and I'd like you to turn and read with me. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, the words of our Lord. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see the difference between decisiveness and indecisiveness there? That's what Jesus is talking about here. By our indecision, we offer an offensive, disgusting insult to our Lord. Does that paint the picture for you? Does that paint the picture for you? The uncommitted are pictured by our Lord as being nauseating. Go read it. Go read it. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. What does that mean? You're indecisive. You're not committed. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's how the Lord feels about indecisiveness. That's how the Lord feels right there. You can mark it down. Failing to make a decision or a decisive choice, we actually show ourselves to be unfit for the kingdom. Unfit for the kingdom. Look at Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57. It happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Indecisiveness makes us unfit for the kingdom of God. Ultimately, what it comes down to is this. There is no middle ground. That's what it comes down to. There is no middle ground. Not to decide for the Lord is to decide against Him. Again, Jesus in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Romans 6 and verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. One or the other. You got to make a choice. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And do not do the things which I say. What we need to do is to gird up our minds, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to emulate at least this one good quality of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16 and verse 4 when he said, I have resolved what to do, and when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. At least he made a choice. At least he made a decision. We need to take control of the emotional feelings that threaten to overthrow our sober decisions in this life. How many decisions do we make strictly on the basis of emotion and not on the basis of God's word and his truth? It's not necessary for us to hit bottom before we finally take charge of our decisions in this life. The prodigal son, we read about it in Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. The prodigal son definitely had hit bottom. There's no question about it. He came to himself, and he, of course, made a decision. And notice, he didn't just make that decision. He followed through, didn't he? He said, this is what I'm going to do. And the text tells us he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, with that in mind, what decisions are we putting off? Now, let's just get right down to home here. What decisions are we putting off? Are we putting off a decision to study God's word every day? Are we doing the daily Bible reading that we have set before us here to follow through all the way through God's word? Are we doing that? Is that a great thing? Is that a horrible thing to ask you to do? To spend a little time each day with God and his word? Are we putting that off? Are we indecisive about it? What about prayer? Are we praying diligently every day? Or is that something that we say we're going to do when we get around to it? Prayer should be priority, not happenstance. It should be priority in our lives. Personal evangelism, talking about God's word to others. Is that something we're waiting for around to it? Huh? How many opportunities are you presented every day of your life? And what do you do with them? What about edification? Are you studying? Are you being edified? Building yourself up in the most holy faith? Or are you stagnant? Think about this. What about rectifying wrongs? Things that have taken place between us and others that need to be resolved. Are we still waiting for that round to it to come? Broken relationships, either with loved ones or good friends. What about those things? Are we just going to leave those and let them go? Or are we going to try to resolve them? You see what I'm saying? Now, how about this one? If you've allowed yourself to drift away from your relationship with the Lord, what about coming back to the Lord? Is that a decision you're having a hard time making? Well, as long as you keep delaying that, your soul is in eternal jeopardy. You need to be decisive. Or maybe you're a person who's come to a knowledge of the truth of God's word, but you have not obeyed the gospel yet. You've been putting it off. I want to know something. Did somebody give you a lease on life and you know exactly how long you're going to live? How much time you're going to have? You got that? Well, I guarantee you, you don't. Even when the doctor says, you've got 6 months, that doesn't mean anything.
That 6 months sometimes turns into 6 minutes. And sometimes it turns into 6 years. Why? Because nobody has a lease on life. Now, if you know that you need to come back to the Lord and be faithful in His service, then why are you putting it off? You know how the Lord feels about that. It makes Him sick to His stomach. And if you know you need to be obedient to the gospel and get the salvation of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, why are you putting it off? You may not have another opportunity. You better think seriously about this. Unmade decisions are like a ticking time bomb. Every time that that second hand moves, it's getting closer to that bomb going off. It's exactly what it is. Our attitude needs to be, I must, I can, and I will. Simple as that. That's decisiveness. That's decisiveness. Have you ever stopped to think about decisiveness with regard to our Lord? Jesus had to choose to die for our sins. Did you ever think about that? He had to choose to do it. And we learn about that actually in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. We turned that passage for other reasons. But in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, we're told, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus had to choose to die for our sins. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and down at verse 8, Paul wrote, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. This is his choice. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There it is right there. Jesus made that decision for you. And aren't you glad? Think of where we would be if he didn't choose that. In Gethsemane, Jesus was deciding or making up his mind to go to the cross. Have you ever thought about that way? In a sense, Golgotha was second in suffering to Gethsemane. Think about that. He suffered. Why? Because he knew exactly what he had to do. And he made up his mind to do it. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, he told his disciples, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. There's his decision. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, Jesus said, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. He purposefully came to that hour. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy, and he left them. and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus made the choice to do that. He was decisive. In asking us to decisively and resolutely choose to obey him, Jesus is only asking us to do with him what he did for us. And that is make the right decision. Make the right decision. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Decisive. You hear that? Decisive. Not wishy-washy, flipping-flapping all over the place, but decisiveness. In the end, Jesus will deny those who have not been decisively for him. In Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's dead serious business. We have already wasted far too much time trying to have it both ways. We can't go on doing that. In Hebrews 4 and verse 7, the inspired writer writes, Today, after such a long time, as has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What's he calling for? He's calling for decisiveness. Decisiveness. We must resolve no longer to linger in doubt and half-hearted commitment to the Lord, but to give ourselves fully unto him. Dear heart, if you are here this morning and you have not yet been obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, we call upon you this morning to give yourself in submission to his will, to confess your faith in Jesus from a penitent heart, be buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, and rise up to walk in the newness of life. If you're a child of God, but you have not been fully committed to the Lord, as you know the Bible teaches we should be, our prayer is that you will make that change today to give yourself in full submission to him, to decisively be for him. And if you'd like for us to pray with you and pray for you as you turn to the Father and ask for forgiveness, we stand ready and willing to do that also. While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?